I'm going to continue my series on the Beatitudes. We're going to look at Blessed are the Meek in Matthew 5:5. I think there's some misunderstanding what meekness means, and so we're going to take a deeper look at that today. You know, when I was in college, I witnessed a confrontation between two of my friends, both very, very good athletes. One of them lost his temper and punched my other friend right in the face, just boom, clocked him. And the other guy who had a reputation of fighting, I thought to myself, oh man, this could get really, really ugly. I thought for sure my friend who got punched was going to retaliate and punch back. He didn't do it. Instead, he went up to the guy who punched him, put his arm around him, and they started walking just slowly away from the rest of us, and they had a quiet, peaceful conversation. The guy who got punched brought a calmness into the situation. I think it takes more strength to show restraint and not fight back than it is to punch back. Well, we're going to continue our study in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to focus on that third Beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You know, often we associate meekness with weakness, being docile, timid. The meekness that Jesus meant has to do with great strength. Speaking of great, there's Alexander the Great. He's called Alexander the Great because he was a great conqueror. 13 short years, this king amassed the largest empire in the ancient world. It covered over 3,000 miles. I did a search on Alexander the Great on IMDb, the Internet Movie Database, and searched for Alexander the Great, and that's just one page of all the movies made about Alexander the Great. He was a great leader, he was a conqueror, he was intelligent. However, historians point out that Alexander the Great had a dark side, had a very violent temper. It was so bad that he would just arbitrarily murder his advisors and close friends from time to time. One time when he was in a drunken rage, he hurled his spear at his best friend and killed him. He just could not control his violent temper. Proverbs 29:11 says, a fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. I like what the New International Version translates that same verse. Fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. When we consider meekness, we look to bring calm to situations rather than rage and anger. Contrast Alexander the Great with Tom. Tom was not a great military leader, nor did he conquer countries or form a great empire. No, Tom ran track in the state of Minnesota when he was in high school in college. I first met Tom at an indoor college track meet at the University of Northern Iowa in February of 1980. And on that Friday night, we both qualified for the Saturday final in the 600 meters. That next day, we ran the final in the 600 meters. Tom won it. I came in fourth. And afterwards, Tom came up to me because he knew I went to Bethel College. He competed for McAllister College at that time. He introduced himself and told me that he was a follower of Jesus. And that began a friendship between us. He eventually transferred to Bethel. Still ranked second on the all-time outdoor chart for the 800 meters, about 150-something. When Tom was in high school, he was ranked number one in the outdoor 400 meters in the state of Minnesota. The state finals, he's favored to win, and he false-started and disqualified. And Tom just quietly walked off the track. He did not lose his cool. He did not argue his case. He calmly departed the track. Was he disappointed? Oh, no doubt. He had to be disappointed. But he reacted with a display, I think, of meekness. Now, again, many people will mistake meekness with weakness. The German philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche denounced Christianity because of this virtue of meekness. He said that Christians were weak and cowardly. Meekness is not weakness. Someone defined weakness as this. Meekness is not weakness, but meekness does not use its power for its own defense or selfish purposes. Meekness is controlled strength or power completely surrendered to God's control. It is an attitude of heart in which all energies are brought into the perfect control of the Holy Spirit. This takes us to the passage that Tyler took us to earlier. Seeing the crowds, Matthew 5:1, Jesus went up on the mountain. When he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There are 8 Beatitudes. They lay the foundation for the Sermon on the Mount, for the rest of chapter 5, and then chapter 6 and 7 of Matthew. Nearly 2,000 years ago, Jesus sat on that Galilean hillside overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and he spoke to his disciples and to the crowds. Could this be the long-awaited Messiah, they might be thinking? And if so, what is he going to say? And his first words were, "Blessed are the poor in spirit." In other words, Jesus said to them and to us that we are to focus on the fact that we are sinners. Even as believers, we still struggle with sin every day. Second, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn." In other words, we are to mourn over the fact that we are sinners. We're to do this on a daily basis. And then Jesus said, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." There's a progression here. There's a sense of our own sinfulness that will result in mourning over our sinfulness. That mourning will cause us to look to the Lord, and as we focus on God and His holiness, that will make us meek. Jesus said, "Blessed, happy are the meek." Not only are meek people happy, but they will inherit the earth. Now, to many people, that doesn't make any sense. Are not the ones who are driven and have the winning at all cost attitude the people who conquer and inherit the earth? Certainly will not be the meek, because if you want something and you want to succeed, you got to go after it. You got to run over to people to do so. That's okay. When Dick Clark asked Madonna on American Bandstand back in 1984 what her goals were, she replied that she wanted to conquer the world. Since then, she attempted to do that through her music and image. Aren't we supposed to exert our power and our own ability to succeed? The world teaches us to be seen, to develop self-importance, because we want people to respect us. But Jesus said the meek would inherit the earth. Now, when we think of a meek person, it usually does not have anything to do with what Jesus is talking about. Meekness is not a natural characteristic. No one is born with it. The meekness that Jesus is talking about is a work of the Holy Spirit. All the Beatitudes are. Sometimes we use the term meekness to describe a nice person, but there are nice dogs and nice cats in contrast to mean dogs and mean cats. So again, meekness is not a biological condition we're born with. Sometimes meekness is used in reference to a person who's easygoing. Well, that's not biblical meekness. Nor is it a person who will do anything to avoid a disagreement or an argument. And meekness does not mean weak in character. A meek person is not spineless. A truly meek person is a person of great strength and courage and authority. And only because of the grace of God. So what did Jesus mean by this? Well, the Greek word translated meekness means gentle, humble, considerate. This word was used in the domestication of animals. It is the animal that is under control. So there's a connection between self-control and meekness. The word is also used by the ancient Greeks to describe how true humility abolishes all pride in life. And so humility as well plays into the definition of meekness. True meekness is only produced by the power of God in each Christian. How do we know what true meekness looks? Well, R.T. France offers a short definition. The meek are those who do not throw their weight around. The meek are those who do not throw their weight around. Here's a longer definition by R. Kent Hughes. The one who is meek has a gentle spirit because he trusts God. Indeed, there's a caress about his presence. At the same time, the meek person possesses immense strength and self-control, which he exhibits in extending love rather than retaliation against those who do him evil. He stands up fearlessly in defense of others or of the truth as the occasion arises. Well, let's take a look at our outline. There's a couple truths about meekness. First of all, meekness is power under control. Meek people will keep their power and their authority under control. Restraint is an essential ingredient for meekness. The root word for the Greek word meek means mild, gentle, soft. And so someone who's meek is gentle, tender-hearted, patient, submissive. When we're truly meek, we will keep our power and our pride under control. We'll keep a lid on it, even when others are in our face, even when others are actively criticizing us. The way that root word was used by the Greeks is helpful. For example, that word was used in the context of taking medicine. When taken in the proper dosage, it's helpful, but an overdose may kill. Another example is a domesticated horse. Such a horse is useful, but an undomesticated one is wild and can kill. In the same way, a gentle breeze will cool and soothe, but a hurricane will kill. These analogies help us to understand meekness. A meek person does not bring destruction and turmoil to relationships and families and churches. And over the 37 years of ministry, I've seen it just takes one person to ruin a church fellowship, be it a pastor or a member of the church. But a meek person will keep his or her passions and emotions under control for a higher cause. Meek people will decide to hold back what they could say or do for the greater good of everybody else. But that's not how the world operates, or often operates. When I was in fifth grade, my family and I moved from the Benson area of Omaha to Millard, 126th and C Street. And our neighborhood was a new neighborhood, loaded with kids and young families. And one family that lived kind of around the corner had two brothers. They were a year apart, and they were always fighting, physically fighting, just beating the snot out of each other. And one day, there was a block party or a neighborhood gathering, a barbecue of some kind, but we did that a lot back then, and so there were a lot of families involved, and these two brothers got into a fight, and the circle of us was around them, watching them, and the father stood there with a beer in his hand, a cigarette dangling out of his mouth, and he encouraged his two sons to fight it out. A couple of the parents questioned that, whether that was the right thing to do or not. And the father's response was that he was trying to make men out of them. And I remember during the fight that one of the brothers screamed out a swear word. And the dad said, "Hey, watch your language." And the son said, "It's my fight." And the father said, "But it's my language," as he proudly strutted around like it was some great teaching moment. I don't remember who won the fight. I do wonder what happened to these two brothers who would be in their early 60s by now. They're a little bit younger than I was. The world does teach us to fight it out. Someone hurts us, we have every right to hurt them back. A great example of a person not fighting back was Moses. In the Old Testament book of Numbers, chapter 12, Moses' sister Miriam, his brother Aaron, criticized Moses' wife. And then they criticized Moses. And Numbers 12:2 says that the Lord heard it. And then in Numbers 12:13, it says that Moses was very meek, more than all the people who are on the face of the earth. Literally, very meek Moses was. Moses was God's anointed one to lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But here, his brother and sister were undermining his authority. And Moses, because he was meek, saw no need to defend himself. He did not seek revenge. He simply committed his cause to the Lord, and the Lord did come to his defense. Moses was patient, and he waited on the Lord, and the Lord came through. There's an example of meekness. Now, some critics are going to look at that passage and say that, well, Moses could not have written the book of Numbers because he's boasting about his own weakness and humility. However, Moses was inspired by the Holy Spirit, and this was an accurate assessment of himself, though he may have struggled in writing down the actual words. There's a second truth. Meekness is a spirit of forgiveness, gentleness, and humility. You know, we may learn from the world to take revenge and to get angry, but the meek person has no thoughts of revenge. Matthew Henry wrote that the meek are are rarely and hardly provoked, but quickly and easily pacified, and who would rather forgive 20 injuries than revenge one, having the rule of their own spirits. Remember, the meek person is gentle. A meek person has allowed the Spirit of God to put a lid on those emotions that want to come out. Yes, we're going to be disappointed with other people, but to get beyond that, we maybe learn about that other person, about their weaknesses and their struggles, about what's going on in their life. Christian fellowship will help us do that. We are the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus shed his blood on the cross so that we honor and love and respect and forgive others and see others more important than ourselves. We don't have to be the first one to speak up and fix every problem. Meekness will stop that. We can rather be involved in ways that models the way of Jesus in dealing with others. Matthew 11, 29 says that Jesus is gentle and lowly in heart, or humble in heart. 1 Peter 2, 21 tells us to walk in the steps of Jesus. It says that when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. The NIV says he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. So we are to be like the gentle and humble Jesus in our relationship with other people. If we are wrong, which will happen, we entrust that to God. If we find ourselves in situations where we encounter other people's sins and weaknesses and their personalities rubs against ours in a wrong way, we respond with humility and gentleness. We are to forgive in the same way that Jesus forgave us. How often should we forgive? Peter asked that same question in Matthew 18, 21. Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to 7 times? In other words, Lord, is there a cap on this? When we get to number 8, I can stop forgiving? And Jesus answered Peter and says, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. And that number indicated that there's no cutoff number. We are to keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving those who hurt us. And, you know, when we consider that every day Jesus forgives us of our own sins that we confess, and as he forgives us and showers us with grace, we are to do the same thing by forgiving others and showering them with grace. Those who are meek are blessed, and they will inherit the earth. This is important because we will get the earth. We will inherit it. What did he mean by that? Well, there's a present sense and there's a future sense. The present sense is that our inheritance takes place within the context of the local church. When God's people are living lives of meekness, then the church will experience the blessing and the power that he intended for us. That's why this is important. That's why our community groups are so important, where we can do life together. Then there's a future sense of inheriting the earth. Bible teaches that in the future, we will share in the riches of God's inheritance. We'll share that with Jesus. Romans 8:17 says that Christians are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Everything belongs to Jesus, including the world, and we will share in that inheritance. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says that someday we're going to judge the world. We're going to judge angels. Incredible. 2 Timothy 2:12 says, if we endure, we'll also reign with him. And we're going to reign with Jesus. And so the route to meekness is focusing on the beauty and the greatness and the person of Jesus. When we gaze upon him, then everything else is going to be pale in comparison. You know, before we were Christians, before we were born again, we're kind of floating on this raft in the ocean in great need of salvation. And we exchanged that dismal and imperfect raft for the rescue ship of Jesus. And rescued people will continually strive to focus on the rescuer, our Savior and Lord Jesus. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. As we focus on the Lord through the Word, through prayer, through worship, being in community with other followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit will develop meekness. Happy and blessed are the meek. When someone cuts us off in traffic, by God's grace, we calmly let it go. Happy are the meek. When someone sends us a critical email or text or a message through social media, through the power of Jesus, we respond with kindness and grace. Happy are the meek because they're more focused on what God thinks of them rather than other people. In a previous church back in the 1990s, there was a deacon in that church who was a constant critic of me and my associate pastor. This went on for 2 years. I remember one Sunday morning, I was about to enter the sanctuary. I was ready to worship. I was ready to preach. That deacon was standing right out there, and he said to me, just seconds before the service was going to start, he says, "We need to talk after church." Well, that comment just sucked the life right out of me, because I knew what that meant. I was going to get lectured after church, because that was the pattern. He could have waited after the service to approach me. He could have waited to the benediction and then said, "You know, you got a few moments, can we talk?" But no, instead, we need to talk after church. And so that next hour of worship, I was working so hard to regain my focus on God, because he just completely blindsided me with that comment and that question. And so as I sang the songs, I prayed that I truly could worship and not be distracted. I prayed before I got to the pulpit and preached, and even throughout my sermon, I was praying. I was praying that God's word would transform lives, and as I preached that sermon, that deacon was sitting right down there just glaring at me, had so much anger in his face. I prayed for him. I prayed that our conversation that will take place after the service would be honoring to God. And we did meet. There were a couple other deacons there as well. I don't even remember why he was mad at me. It was so long ago. But I do remember that God gave me grace to respond with kindness and patience. You know, within my own strength, I could have never done that. Never. I could have never displayed meekness on my own, but the Holy Spirit in me could, and I give him all praise and glory. By the way, that deacon and I were reconciled a couple years later, and we are very close brothers now. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you that we can have this opportunity to dig deep into the Beatitudes. As we look at this beatitude of meekness, may our focus be on the Lord Jesus, on his meekness, and the times when he could have fought back, and he did not. He displayed love and kindness and patience. May we be the same way, but we can't do that in our own strength, Father. And so, Lord, give us your grace. Give us a motivation to focus on Jesus and the Word. And, Lord, if we're in a situation now where somebody is confronting us, somebody's opposing us or criticizing us, we pray, Father, that we can respond in meekness, but we can't do that in our own strength, and so we need your help. And now, Lord, as we look to you at the Lord's Supper, we pray that we could be focused on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.